Hello, Duo listener, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. This week, we're doing something a little different. We are going to re-air a previously dropped episode, so to speak, from February of 2020. And there is a reason we're doing that. On that episode, we had our friend and brother, Omar Craddock, as our very first guest, and he at the time was competing towards the Olympics, 2020 Summer Olympics with the USA track and field team as a triple jumper. It was a really great conversation on his journey and his path and how he got to where he was at that point in 2020. And so yesterday, Omar was named to the University of Florida Track and Field Hall of Fame class of 2023. He competed for the Gators from 2010 to 2013, earning multiple national titles during his time at Florida, seven-time All-American, winning the 2012 indoor NCAA triple jump title, and was the back-to-back outdoor triple jump national champion in 2012 and 2013. And he holds the fifth best mark in school history in both indoor and outdoor triple jump. Back in 2010, he helped the Gators men's team to their first ever indoor national title and their first SEC outdoor championship since 1987. In 2012, he swept the SEC titles in men's indoor and outdoor triple jump. He also earned sixth and seventh consecutive NCAA triple jump titles for the Gators. Then in the following year, he won every outdoor competition he took part in and was named the 2013 South Region Men's Outdoor Field Athlete of the Year for USTFCCCA and won the 2013 USA Outdoor Track and Field Triple Jump title. Of course, as I mentioned, he's a native of Killeen, Texas. So here's our conversation with our friend and brother and now class of 2023 Hall of Fame for Florida Track and Field, Omar Craddock. All right, welcome to episode 10 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. My name is Deontay Epps, joined by my brother Dane Beasley. And on our 10th episode,
We
have our very first guest joining us. On the 10th episode, we had to make it a little special. This guy we've known for, man, it's been double-digit years. Too long to count, too many years to count, all the way from the elementary school days. Our friend, our brother, and our Olympic athlete, Olympic hopeful, Omar Craddock. Omar, how you doing, bro? We appreciate you coming on, man.
Yes, sir. Hey, one, I appreciate the intro, and two, I thank y'all. Thank y'all. Like, I was looking forward to this when we first mentioned it. So,
yeah.
Yes, sir.
And this one is long in the making, just trying to get everybody's schedules to match up and, you know, get technology to work and, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. But, and then, shoot, I had a freaking flag football game that went into friggin' double overtime. So I was not expecting it to last this long, trying to relive some glory days, but we finally here, man. We really appreciate it, man. For real. It really means a lot to us. And, so first off, we just, all the way back in the day, man, fairway days and even earlier than that.
West Ward Day. Shoot, even before that, man, let's take it back to flag football with me and you, man.
Flag football, yeah. Man. Flag football That's days. Our dads coached us back in the day.
Yep.
Man, good times, man. So
yeah,
it's really great to finally have you on here and talk good stuff and talk about the good things going on in your career, your life. All the good stuff like that, bro. So
yes, sir.
It's finally, you know, we're really appreciative again for that. But question,
100%,
I was just gonna say
100%. I'm glad to be on, man. Like I really am. I'm proud of y'all too. The duo, man. This is just dope. Like this is great stuff. You know what I'm saying? And like the fact the fact is this, man. I know you got a question, so yeah, we're gonna get to that question.
Yeah.
But like, honestly, bro, you know, where we come from in Killeen, like, being that not too many people, you know, it's military, right? Everybody chooses to go military, military, military. It's like a what's the word I'm looking for?
Assembly line, maybe.
Yeah. In that sense, right? Like, we just get pumped out to do that. But being that I took this professional track sport route, then you got people like Royce O'Neal that's playing for the Jazz. Then you got Corey. Yeah. Is Corey still playing overseas? I'm not sure. Jefferson.
I'm not sure. But I mean, he was in the NBA too.
Yeah.
Bingo. Yeah. And so it's a handful of us. And then now you guys got this podcast. It's just like, this is what we can produce, you know, coming from where we come from, because not too many people dream big, you know. Yeah. And regardless of how long it take, you know, y'all started the podcast now, but you know, it happened. So that's truly why I'm so like extremely excited to be on. So
man. Appreciate you, bro. That means a lot, man. We're gonna keep grinding. We're gonna keep grinding. Straight up. You know,
it's
something we enjoy. Like when we first talked about doing it, it was just like, man, this is stuff we talk about on a daily, and it's just like letting everybody hear what we do or what we talk about. It's really about that. Right. So it's really been fun and rewarding and refreshing and getting a lot of feedback from a lot of people. But we really appreciate that, man.
Right. Yeah.
Sure. It means a lot. Bro. So, you know, we're in 2020 now, and you remember back in 2016 when I was working for that news station, I actually got to interview you.
Yeah.
You know, you were, it was so funny. Karina, here it is, my fiance, and I always watch my old like sports reporter clips, and at the beginning of that particular one where I interviewed you, it's the part, it's like I started it off with you saying the boy is here.
The boy is here.
Yeah. So every time I come on, she says it too, and it'd be so funny. But I bring that up to say, so you were, and for people that don't know, Omar is a track athlete, but his event is triple jump. So at that time, Omar, you were qualifying for or trying to qualify for 2016 Olympics in Rio. And so you didn't quite make it. You didn't, you know, get to where you wanted to be. How is that experience, or what did you learn from, you know, not qualifying then, and how are you preparing to aim, you know, towards this year?
One great question. But what I learned or what I gained from that is learning to be like this sport is just mental. It really is mental. I think all sports are a mental play or mental game. You know, like we get so caught up in like the physicality of it. Like, man, I can do this. I can. It's easy. You know, if I'm a quarterback, of course I can throw, you know, 40, 50 yards. I got precision. I have this and I have that. But, you know, once you get to the pinnacle of the sport, i.e. Super Bowl or like the NBA finals, and then for me, obviously, the Olympic Games or even the Olympic trials, it's like, man, you get to a space. So honestly, me, bro, like, remember the interview we did when you were working at the news station? I was confident. I was confident in my ability. But when we got there, it was like I had my mom there. I had different distractions that I was allowing into my space. And that is what I learned. Like, man, you really have to stay guarded. My friends, my boys hit me today. You know, we got a group text, me, myself, Will Clay, Marquise Goodwin, and Eric Kennard, right? These are all athletes. And Will texted us, and he was like, bros, like, from last night's fight, you know, I gained that, you know, you have to be, you know, you can't be too caught up in the extracurricular stuff, right? The lights, the hype of what it is. And when he said that, it reminded me of 2012, 2016, when I didn't make the team. I wasn't necessarily caught up in the lights and the hype of, oh, this is the Olympic trials, going to the Olympic Games. I think I was more caught up in people knowing my name, people wanting to, you know, shout me out or all just, you know, everything else. I was caught up on the outside, not focusing on myself and focusing on my performance. And so going into to this year, 2020, everything is, you know what, Omar, you have it physically. You know, you can do this. Now it's just like, hey, execute. And the only way that you can execute is by staying, you know, solidified in your own mental, not allowing others to get in and not allowing anything that's not supposed to be in.
Right.
So, yeah, that's really where, that's my biggest. I would say that was the biggest adversary. And that's the one that I attacked ever since then. Ever since then, So Zero is one of my favorite artists, and Zero say he was like, I'd rather read a couple books to put some fat on my brain. And so I've upped my reading, I've upped my mental strength. Those are some of the things that I was like, you know, this right here is what was keeping me out of the game.
Yeah.
You know, my mental was that. So.
Right. I feel like that's something like in athletics period, you know, you got to have, you have the talent and the physical ability, right. But a lot of the game is mental, you know, just right. Like you said, the distractions and, you know, being, you know, what you're capable of is just trying to get out there and do it. So,
that's good.
That's really deep what you're talking about. And, and it made a lot of sense, So last year, I remember you going to the Pan Am Games, right, in Peru, yep. And you took first place in that. I caught it on a stream, if I'm not mistaken, because it was streaming over here. I don't know what the time difference was, but like that.
Okay.
That seemed like, I don't want to say easy because, you know, it's not easy, but from what you were saying about it being a mental thing, like from what I saw is just like confidence and like,
right.
From what your ability to make it seem easy. That's what I saw. Is that kind of what you felt?
Yeah. At the Pan Am Games, man, I went in so confident. I'm one that makes, goal boards or vision boards every single year. And I put them up so I can see it. I need, you know, I'm a visual guy. And so I have to see it. And so 2019, that vision board was, what I have on there? Man can't live off bread alone. You know, I had some scripture on there. Then it was like, hey, don't get caught up in the numbers. Grab confidence. That was the one in the middle. And so every day, you know, brushing my teeth or actually like once I got out of bed, it's right in front of me. So if you can close your eyes and imagine yourself laying down and just get straight up. What's the game? Anyway, where you just sit straight up. And so it's right there in front of me. And it just says, you know, grab confidence. And so every day I was like, hey, you have to be confident. Like out of anything that you do today, be confident. So if somebody asks you a question, be confident in your answer. If coach is like, hey, we got repeat 200s and I need you to come in 24 seconds or better. Well, I'm confident that I'm going to do it. If we're jumping, I'm confident I'm going to break my best at practice X, Y, and Z. So just to bring us back to Pan Ams. Yeah, man, when I got there, being that I started off the year being confident, grabbing confidence at every waking moment at the Pan Am Games, I'm like, you know what? This is my first like real international competition. Well, actually, no, it's not my first international competition, but it's another opportunity to win a medal, right? So we have like Pan Am Games, we have the World Championships, and then we have the Olympics. So this was another one of those caliber meets. And I'm just like, you know what? I came into the year number one. I think I tweeted it, Facebooked it. I text everybody in my phone and was like, hey, if you are a part of my life, we're elevating. I'm going to be number one this year. And boom, I was number one. So going to Pan Am Games, I'm like, I can do this. Like, I know what I can do, right? It's like if you play basketball and you're a three-point shooter, I can shoot threes. Bro, if it's a tie game and I'm over here in this corner, hit me. If I'm open, hit me because I'm busting it down. And that's how it was. So even as you – when you watch the video, the young kid, Jordan, he went and jumped what he jumped. And I was just like, oh, man, I can do that. So when he went that 56-2 or whatever it could have been, I'm like, all right, cool. I can do it. Boom, did it. And if you look at the trajectory or our series, I practically just mimicked him. You know, it was I was jumping to the level of my competitors. And at that moment, that's when I knew. I was like, right. Oh, you found something. You found something. So to answer, yeah, it was quite easy. It was quite easy. And that's just the confidence that I continue to carry with me going into this year.
Yeah, it just seemed like, I know you, for me, it just seems like it's something that you do for a confidence boot. Like you always get the crowd into it and, you know, just trying to build that, you know, intensity and stuff like that. Something I always admire with, you know, everything you did. But
to be honest, you know, I do that. So for all the listeners, I do the clapping for y'all. You know what I'm saying? I do that for y'all because in high school, I never did it. When I got to college, I only did it at our indoor championship because like my teammate kept doing it. And then I went from second to like seventh. And I'm like, I need some help. Mm-hmm. And so when I started clapping, you know, that's when everybody's watching. So now I guess I'm creating expectation for myself because now people expect me to do something now that I commanded your attention. Right. So but that's why I do it, because I'm in a sport, man, where, you know, it's so much going on at once. But everybody comes to track meets, you know, for the sprints practically, you know. And so they don't see us or they don't pay attention to us. So I'm like, you know what? I'm commanding your attention and I want you to be able to interact while you're here, you know, because track meets can get boring and mundane. So it's like, let's give them something to do while they sitting here watching us.
Right. And you're doing a triple jump event. All eyes are on you anyway. Right. It's just you.
Yep.
It's not like a relay where, you know, you hand it off to the next guy or it's not five guys, 10 guys running with each other at the same time.
One person at a time.
Event. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've been at the top of your game, you know, high school, college, you know, professionally. So through all those years, through all these different meets, these competitions, what keeps you motivated?
Man, just knowing that I can always get better. You know, in college, I started like this brand, you know, Room to Improve, because I just truly believe in it. And obviously the Room to Improve is for every aspect of life. So I've always, as a kid, man, I always wanted to be a businessman. I always wanted to own something. I always wanted to have an empire, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I know that I have this talent or this ability to jump. So it's like, you know what? One, I don't have the world record, so I'm definitely still pushing for that. So that's the easy motivator, right?
Okay.
The world record. I want this championship. So that's one. Also, you know, family keep me motivated because, again, as a kid, you know, my parents, they built this pride in our last name. Oh, you a Craddock. You hold your head up. You know, we be confident. Mm-hmm. But what I looked up to was, you know, sports. And I always wanted to see a Craddock jersey. I was always like, yo, I know we great, but how come nobody wears like Craddock on a jersey? You see Williams, you see, you know what I'm saying? You'll see some Beasleys or you'll see some Epps. You know what I'm saying?
You'll see this,
but you don't see Craddocks. You know what I'm saying? You don't see it on the professional rankings. So that's another way that I'm just like, you know, for my nephew when he's coming up, for my unborn children, for my cousins, for my mother, rather, you know what I'm saying? For my brothers and my sisters, you wear my last name. So when you see, if you go to the store and you're like, oh, it's a Craddock track jersey, that's a moment that they can be like, yo, this is us. And regardless, I might not be the next track athlete, but I will be the next whatever. And that's, you know, that's my motivation. Because, man, we live on a world, we live on this planet where, you know, everybody wants to leave a mark. And every day, that's all I'm trying to do. I want to leave my mark of just who I am. Mm-hmm. And right now, this triple jump in this sport right now is a part of who I am. So I just want to run with it, man. I want to, you know, sports. I'm I could drag questions, man. But
no, you good. Yeah, take it away. This is what we're here for.
Yeah, sports, man.
Making it easy for us,
right? Sports, you know, entertainment, like, really carries this globe, you know, and entertainers. If you're a musician, you have the hearts and the ears of people. If you're an athlete, you motivate people to want to be healthy. You motivate people to want to try something new. And so, being that I'm in this sport, I'm in the oldest sport known to man.
Man.
And I'm doing things, you know, I'm competing for and toward history, right?
Yeah.
And when you put your name in history, you're established. You know, because people go to school and they read history books, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we got Black History Month, you get what I'm saying? So these are important things, and I feel like, you know, the Lord blessed me to be in a profession where I get to challenge history all the time.
Whew. Man.
Just gave myself chills with that one. Wow.
Yeah, that's deep. When you think about it, because you can always have a debate whether, you know, who's the greatest football player of all time, you know, who's the greatest basketball player of all time, you know, MJ or Kobe, stuff like that. When you say who's the fastest man in the world, you can't. There is no toss up between that. It's either, you know, you're at the top or you're not. So, man, that's real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's dope. That's dope, man. Going back to the interview we had, like, what, it was four years ago now.
Yeah.
That's crazy. From what I remember.
Hold on, that's proper. That's proper. Because, see, my granny, she always told me, she say, don't, Jesus give us this. The Lord give us this now.
Yeah.
So don't call it nothing. The Lord give us crazy. I said, all right. So it's proper. Everything is just proper.
Yeah. Hey, we, you talked a lot about, I know, right? For real. You talked a lot about putting Killeen on the map. Do you still feel like where we come from is something that's on your shoulders when you go out and compete every day?
Not every day, but it's still something that I do and want to do, or I guess continue to do, because matter of fact, I'm gonna tell you this. The first time I went to Doha, 2017, was my first time competing there at the Diamond League event. And one of the fans there was in my hotel. He seen me and he was like, oh my gosh. Oh my God, Killeen, Texas. Oh my God,
man.
And I'm like, yo, I did it. I did my job. Like, you're in the Middle East, screaming about little old Killeen, Texas, the military town populated with 150,000 people.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, so now I feel, you know, it is established in a way. However people feel about it, I don't care. I'm from there. And for the kids, you know, that are from there, that's really what I'm doing it for, is the next one. You know, like, I'm 28, fellas. And so there's children that still live in Killeen. And so if they can read about me and be like, oh, he's from here, that's going to give them that insight. If they can read about Corey Jefferson, DJ Stephens, Royce O'Neal, you know what I'm saying? Tommy Harris, Wick. If they can read about us, that gives them the confidence to interject themselves into this world and be felt and be heard. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Mm. And to believe that, you know, they could do the same thing, right? Because I know you still hear to this day about negative things about Killeen and this and that still in this year. So as much positive that we can get that comes out of there, that could be amazing. And that's something that, you know, from that I always admire about that interview from them was, you know, talking about putting Killeen on the map and bring a positive energy from that city. And I got to actually watch that clip from your recent interview with the news station in Waco, or the KCEN.
Right.
And I didn't even know Darius was a boxer. I don't know how I missed that. Seeing both of y'all come from the same area was great.
Yeah, bro. He's been flying under the radar, I guess you can say, because, I mean, He is younger. I think a good 5 years or so. But I actually dated his sister. Y'all remember Catrice?
I do remember that.
Yeah, so that's her little brother. And so, I would obviously, go to her house and, hang with her and just hang with the family. You know, I'm very personable. If I'm dating a female, I want your parents to love me too. I'm over there just getting to know them. And I seen him wanting to be like his older brother. You know, I mean, this is, I guess, me putting words into his own mouth, but that's what I seen, right? He wanted to, I'm going to play football because my brother do it. And, I can tell he was bit by that athletic bug. He wanted to be good at something. And obviously, just like Novocaine, it take time. And he finally found it. And being that he's in boxing, bro, that's a sport I wanted to do. But growing up, my mom's was like, oh, we can't afford it. Until fast forward to today, I'm finding out she just didn't want us to get hurt. I'm like, what? We played football. What is you talking about? My brother broke his leg the first time we played. Like, what is you saying? So with him in it, man, I'm just like, yo, brother, do it. And again, it's great for the city, man. We getting that article from Waco, and then the KDH just ran a news article. So again, it's just it does wonders for the kids of the city.
Yeah.
That's dope. That's dope, man. So you said something that I'm pretty sure that's going to inspire a lot of people, specifically the ones in Killeen that look up to, how do I get out of here? How do I make the best out of my opportunities? Being bit by the athletic bug, when did you know that, triple jumping, this is what I want to do. This is obviously I'm good at it. This is what I want to pursue at the highest level. When did that hit you?
I guess we can say at 16. That's when I believe I could have made the Olympic trials, right? Maybe not the team, but I could have made the Olympic trials. And so when my coach told me, shout out to Coach E, he was just like, Omar, you can go to the Olympics. Well, he said Olympic trials, but all I heard was Olympics. And I'm like, oh, well, shoot, let's do it. Like the Olympics, that's a big thing. At that point, I'm just like, I'm excelling. I'm exceeding in a way that a lot of people, when they join this event, don't exceed or don't excel. It's a sacrosanct event. It's tough. And so I was blessed and fortunate enough to have a coach that did the same event and that just had knowledge, though. There's a lot of coaches that have done the event, but they don't necessarily know what they're doing. At 16, man, 2008. I thought I was going to the Olympics. And so that's where this whole journey thing actually started. For those that are wondering, if you remember, DT, 2016, I was saying, it was room to improve, of course, but it was Journey 16. And so Journey 16 for 2016, but the journey for me began at the age of 16. Like, I really want to go to the Olympics. I really want to be the world record holder and get this gold medal. So, 16, man, 2007, 2008.
Man,
that's what's up, man.
So that's what's up.
So the Olympic trials for this year are in June, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so kind of talk to us about the process of that. Do you have to qualify to go towards that, or are there certain events you need to place in or whatever? What exactly, how do you get to trials? Are you automatically invited? How does that work?
Yeah. So, for the trials, man, it's a standard. They put out a standard that we have to hit. And I believe it's like top 16, top 20 in the US.
Just ranking.
Yeah. Ranking. So all right, well, they'll put out it'll be like 1630 meters, right? That's like 53'5" or something like that. So out of that, whoever jumped that 53.5 in the U.S., you can enter into the trials, and then boom, we just go. We break it down to however many, two different flights, and top two get that spot. Really top three get that spot. But since we have Christian, who is the defending champ, he's already gone. So now we're only taking, I believe, just two more.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. So there's certain events that you still have before then that you have to make certain marks at, correct?
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, any meet, it's just like, you know, having a schedule. I stick to that schedule and shoot, I hit them distances. It's, let me tell you, man, in college, bro, we used to have this thing. We used to have standards. We used to have an A standard and B standard. You hit the A standard, you automatically go to the NCAA champs.
Okay.
And so at Florida, man, shout out to them Gators. So when I was at school there, like that was our thing. Like everybody on the team, on our men's team was good. And that's to say, I mean, we won national champs every year I was there. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. But, in case nobody knew.
But everybody knew. Everybody on the team was like, you know what? I'm good. You good. He good. She good. They good. What do we need to do to be successful? Hit the standard. Mm-hmm. You know? And it's like, okay, well, the A standard is this. Well, I can do the A standard. Cool. Did the A standard. Therefore, I don't have to compete anymore. Because now while my competitors are still out here trying to get the standard and still doing all these meets, I'm over here just fresh and I'm just perfecting the craft as opposed to still trying to make it, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's how this goes for me now. Like today, I just treat it all like standards. All right, we got an A standard, B standard. The only reason I continue to have multiple meets is because I want to perform and show people what I do. Mm-hmm. But so meet number one, I can sit down. I don't have to compete anymore. I could just continue to train until the trials and train until the game. But, you know, for the love of the sport, I'm out here. You know, I'm still out here, you know, serving heads on platters. Come on now. I was gonna bring some of this goodness in here now. You know, they got to feel me. I wasn't finna be too political too much now.
I got you. So when you obviously get the opportunity to travel, you know, to different continents to compete, you know, all the time. And right. How is that the difference in competing, you know, at the collegiate level here stateside versus going, you know, to places like, you know, Japan, you know, Italy, Peru? Like, how does that home field advantage feel here versus when you're out there in the world competing?
Brother, I'm glad you asked that question because that's what we want. Mm-hmm. One, we want a circuit here so we can have y'all come and like really just feel it. You know what I'm saying? Like when we in Europe, man, it's an amazing feeling. I feel like I'm at a football game and people out there in the stands, they screaming your name, but it would be so much better. And it is so much better at these trials when, you know, you can hear familiar voices. You know, you can hear people call you by your nickname and you like, oh, that turned me up.
Oh yeah.
Because, you know, overseas, they don't know me like that. They just, come on, Omar. But if I hear somebody say a nickname, oh, I know what time it is. And it just does so much, you know, so much more. My sisters can come, you know, my grandparents come to my competitions when I'm close. Like that does wonders for me. That does wonders for us, man. I mean, just imagine if you were to just perform anywhere and your parents can't be there. You know, and you can just take it back to you being a kid and you guys, congratulations, are, you know, husbands or soon to be husbands. Hey,
you know, make sure you put that in there because Karina said, I don't ever talk about her on this podcast.
Oh, we're going to talk about it all, baby. But that's big, man. And imagine going somewhere performing and your wife can't be there. You know, and this is like the pinnacle of not even a pinnacle, but it's a great opportunity. Hey, Deontay, hey, Dane, we like the way you guys speak. We like your podcast. Come on our show. I'm pretty sure you would love it a lot more. You love the opportunity, but at least you look in a crowd and like, damn, there go my wife supporting me.
Right.
You know, as opposed to just going and then it's like, you know, this is a great opportunity. And you look into this audience and you see people that support you, but it's like, yeah, but you're not my, you know, you're not the one I see every day, you know, not the one that sees me every day, that sees me grind every day. You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely a blessing to go overseas, man. I love it. I love to see this globe. I love to journey across this world. But in that same breath, man, I'd love for my family, my friends, and my home field fans to see me perform.
Right, oh, that's cool, man. I mean, that's the way you broke that down was makes too much sense. yeah. You, one of the things you mentioned earlier was your room to improve and RTI slogan that you RTI. Like to use. For the listeners out there, don't know what that means. Kind of describe what that slogan means to you and how it applies to you and what you do.
Yeah, man. Room to improve is exactly that. You know, you have the room to improve. Like I said, I started it really in college, 2011. One, I'm going to tell you like this. Yeah, this is 2011. I was broke. I was in college and broke. And
where we are,
you know, a lot. Of, right. You know, I was so broke, bro. I was eating potato salad, breakfast, lunch and dinner. That's not even a joke. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is real life. And I tell this anytime I do speaking engagements and I talk to kids, like, you know, it was a real thing. So anyway, at that point, I'm just like, yo, I have to do better. I can get better. I have to improve somehow. Mm-hmm. And as I'm sitting there talking to myself and talking, I'm just like, man, well, you got the room to improve, bro. Like, what can you do? And I think it was I would say that to myself, right? And then I got wristbands made, room to improve. And it's just like an affirmation. So you wear the wristband and you working out and you tired and you look down, you put your hands on your hips and you looking down and you're like, oh, wait a minute. Room to improve. All right, boom, let me get back to work.
Message.
You in law school and you studying and you getting tired and you falling asleep and you writing it, but then you look at that wristband, room to improve. And so that for me, it just made me be a lot more intentional on like what I wanted to do and who I wanted to be. And as I knew for myself, like, hey, I'm doing this track and field. I have the room to improve. Cause again, like I mentioned earlier, I don't have the world record, but for somebody else, you know, their world record is that law degree. It is that just getting your doctorate or getting accepted into college or pulling your grade up from an F to a C. You know what I'm saying? There's some kids that are not the best in school. But hey, if I could just pull it up, if I can go from a C to a B, I'm you know, I feel better about myself. So it was room to improve is really all about, you know, confidence and just believing that you can get better in anything that you do. And so that's why it's just and that goes back to your question earlier too, Dane, about how do I stay motivated? You know, it's just knowing that I can get better, knowing that I can be better, you know? And yeah, from there it's just I just pray and hope that it's a bug for others to be like, you know, I can get better, and the ones that are behind me watching me, they know that they too can get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there it is. Okay, so you are where you're at now mentally. Boom, you know, you're ready to go, ready to ball out, and you've pretty much had a lot of things thrown your way. Knowing what you know now, if you could speak to your younger self, you know, just about the journey that you've taken or the journey that you've been on, what would you say to your younger self?
What would I say to my younger self of what I know now? Correct. That was the question. Trust it and trust you. But I choose that because on this journey, you meet so many people that you don't know who you can trust, you know, because they don't see what you see. They don't see your vision. They don't see your dream. But it's just like, man, for some reason, you feel the way you feel, not the way they feel. You feel how you feel. And, you know, and those are the moments where it's like, man, I'm not sure what this is, but I like it. And at that moment, it's like, hey, you got to trust that. Trust it. Follow it, work hard at it, and make it come to life. Like, I mean, just trust it. And it's a lot of things, you know, on my journey where I wasn't trusting things. Like, I feel like I could have broke records a long, long time ago. I mean, I have broken records, you know, but you know, it's just some of my goals that I haven't achieved. Mm-hmm. It's just I can attest that to being like I wasn't trusting myself. You know, I would hear something from somebody else. I'll tell y'all like this. When I didn't make, what team did I make? I think it was this last Olympic team. Yes. Mm-hmm. 2016. Y'all know being from Texas and how we carry ourselves. There's some people, you know, if you into like the entertainment, right? We got the gold grills and things like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So standard. Y'all know I rock that.
Oh, yeah.
I rock that to show and let people know, you know, like this is like where I come from. So I represent not only myself, but I represent these people too that look like me because mm-hmm. I like it. You know, I'm not trying to tell people, oh yeah, go get you a gold grill. It's just like, hey, for the people that got gold grills, I rock it too. But look at what I'm doing, X, Y, and Z. Yeah, trust it, man. Yeah. Trust it. T-R-U-S-T. Trust it, trust yourself. Because, you know, this journey, it gets tough. It's kind of mm-hmm. like you guys in this podcast, man. Like, I think I seen, or actually when I heard the first episode, y'all was talking about, yeah, well, we've been talking about this for months and for years, and we should do this podcast. And it's, hey, well, trust mm-hmm. it. Do it. Yeah. And at the end of the day, you succeed or fail, you did it. Whether it was, what we on episode 10, whether it was 5 episodes and you only got 2 plays,
yeah.
Oh, well, you mm-hmm. did it. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, it's going to catch on. Maybe later somebody can be like, yo, have you ever heard this podcast? It's old. You know what I'm saying? The duo, but they had great content. And then it's like, okay, that's y'all's revamp. Right. You get what I'm mm-hmm. saying?
I got you.
And that's how I carry myself in this sport, too. Y'all see I drop merch. I have jerseys. I have calendars. I have this stuff because I want whenever, I mean, if it happens now or when I'm out of the sport, I would feel like I brought something and left something with the sport because now, you know, we may have track jerseys in stores where people buy them like they do football and basketball. And
man, yeah.
You know, like that's man. What I look forward to. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it. Like if you think of track and field, since y'all know me, who else can you mention?
Yeah.
Usain Bolt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Allison Felix. And that's probably it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Or if you go older, it'll be like, you know, Flo Jo or something like that. But like Maurice Green or,
yeah, around here, Michael Johnson.
People like that. But you don't.
Baylor.
Mm-hmm. Especially Johnson, in Texas.
Baylor, yeah.
Especially in Texas.
So Jeremy Warner.
Yeah, Warner.
You know, so it's just like you only get a select few of people that you get to know. And so I'm just like, you know what? This is how I want to change the game. This is mm-hmm. how I'm going to be able to leave my mark in this sport.
That's what's up, man. You kind of mentioned about the jerseys and the merch type of thing. And I kind of, yeah. It was a good segue to my question. Last year, I was on Instagram scrolling and you had a post and I was like, man, look at my boy Omar. And it was the sponsorship partnership with Shady Rays. Are you still with them?
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. Okay. But
go ahead.
But so I haven't made the announcement yet, but I guess y'all getting that exclusive. So this is the exclusive, man. I'm an Oakley athlete now. You know what I'm saying? I'm signed to Oakley.
Yeah. Oh, let's go.
Right, this part of the podcast.
You heard it here?
You heard it here first. I'm gonna edit the sound. I'm gonna put in the crowd clapping and cheering. It's a mad thing.
Yeah, there it is.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So talk about how that came about if you can. I don't know.
Please.
For sure.
I mean, we understand if you can.
I can, man. It's you know, again, like when it goes back to trust it, right? And that's what I was getting at about the other story. So this is all tied together, right? So 2016, perfect. When I didn't make that team and I was telling y'all about the gold grills and stuff, people mm-hmm. were telling me, Omar, you shouldn't do this. Like, why are you wearing glasses? Why do you wear the grill? Why are you? And they're like, you know, that takes away from your focus. But I'm like, but this is who I am.
You are.
Part
exactly.
of me. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm. And so it's just so when they was telling me all that, I was like, you know what? OK, I'm going to scale back. I'm going to keep wearing the glasses, but I'm not going to wear the grill because, you know, it makes me look this way or y'all are telling me, hey, this doesn't work for us. So maybe that's why y'all not giving me any kind of promo or inviting me to these camps. And so when I did that, nothing changed. I still wasn't invited to camps. You know, they still didn't like really interview me and things like that. So I'm like, okay, that's where the trust it comes from. And so being that I was the only jumper jumping in shades, and I may have been, I'm not sure on history, but I would say I'm probably the first to do it as like, this is what I do. You know, maybe some jumpers have done it before, but I do this. I like shades. I like glasses. And so, yeah, you know, I got with my agent, Lamont of Take Notice Sports, and we worked out the Shady Rays deal. You know, I had a relationship with them already, and I'm just like, you know, this is who I am. This is what I do. X, Y, Z. We did that deal. And then my agent was like, look, if Shady Rays doesn't want to redo a contract, I think I can get you some Oakley. And I'm like, hey, since I have this relationship with them, I'm like, I got this relationship with them. Of course, I want to try to work this out. And I tried to get like a signature line, and they weren't doing the signature lines yet. So I'm like, all right, cool. They didn't want to redo the contract. So I told them, I'm like, hey, man, let's keep it moving. And when I was at the World Champs this year in Doha, that's where I met the Oakley rep. I sat down with him and just told him, like, hey, this is what I do, man. Like, the promo is going to be easy because I truly wear glasses. And I'm just looking for somebody to support the journey. You know, in track and field, there is no real money unless you are out here getting it. And as I spoke to them, I'm just like, hey, man, this is what I do. And if you're trying to get your product out there, for anybody that watches track and field, they're going to see me in your glasses, period. Like, because I'm not taking them off. You know, I can be at a regular event. I could be at the beach. I'm going to wear them because, again, I wear glasses. So I don't know. I mean, I guess they just really rocked with the fact that I just wear glasses.
Yeah.
And they like, hey, we want to be a part of it. And, hey, we a team.
That's what's up, man.
So shout out to Oakley. Shout out to Jaren for wanting me to be on the team. Shout out to you, Jay.
that's crazy. Man. Got the exclusive. Mm-hmm. That's big time, man. Congratulations on that for real. For sure.
Truly. No, I appreciate it, man. I really do. I really do.
Yeah. It's been a great year for you, man. Yeah. And one of these things, like, it was not too long, a few months ago. It's like probably like September, maybe August, but you ESPN put out they reposted a video that you put out.
Yeah.
You know, you're practicing triple jump, and just to see a familiar face and just that sense of pride, like, yo, he's from the same place where I came from.
Yeah.
And he's out there doing big things like this.
Yep.
And then just to seeing, you know, the comments people were making, you know, just, you know, be proud of you.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
I remember Kenny said, he was like, and I'm trying to go back and find it, but it's too many comments to go through and find it. But yeah. Kenny said something like, somebody tag Max Kellerman. So he can because he was basically implying that, you know, track athletes aren't real athletes. Right. And Kenny was calling them out. And I was just like, man, this is where we're at right now. Like, yeah. it was a surreal moment. So you have I'm sure you have a ton of those type of moments. Like, okay, I'm really doing this. Like,
yeah.
But in terms of like being starstruck or anything like that, what makes you, or what type of experience do you have that puts you in, like, outside of your body? Like, oh, this is really happening type of thing.
Man. I think when I choose to see it that way, because, you know, I've been to the AMAs, you know, and to see, you know, these artists sing and, you know, get their awards or whatever, you know, I've been around in these circles, but I guess I'm so mission driven that, like, I would love to just be walking one day and I'm like, oh, shoot, that's a picture of me in this Oakley store. Oh, shoot, it's a billboard of me. Oh, shoot, it's a commercial. Yeah. You know, at that moment, then I'm like, oh, I'm there. But I'm still there. You know, I'm already in that moment. So when I choose, and to be honest, it happens when I start to, I guess, live in comparison, and I start to doubt myself, and I'm just like, wait, pause, time out. Look at where you at. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, like now we adults now, right? We are grown men now. And when we were kids, it was like, oh, I was born in Germany because of my dad being in the military. Oh, I'm at this football game because Baylor gave us free tickets to come watch them play. Oh, I'm at this event, X, Y, you know, because of someone else. But when I take a step back and a breather, I'm like, yo, bro, you a pro. You a professional athlete. Like, you're where you've always wanted to be. Your prayers came true. You know what I'm saying? And so at that, it's those moments. It's fortunate and unfortunate that I have to see it whenever I go, you know, when I go down or when I feel bad. But there's also times when I'm just like, yo, you really here, oh.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You really like, you know what's funny? I have a friend that's here now. That I train with. But her friend is here. And her friend is a fan of mine.
Wow.
And my roommate, so Toby, he's a Paralympic athlete. And Paralympics, if y'all don't know, it's not the Special Olympics. These are people that have, you know, I guess you can call them disabilities. My friend Deja, she calls it non-traditional athletes. Mm-hmm. So we have blind athletes. Lex Gillette, he's one of the greatest long jumpers. Bro, blind, okay? I'm talking about Ray Charles, crazy. Stevie Wonder. You hear me?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'll be on the track, and I'm like, you know, I watch him perform, jump in the sand, sprinting. And I'm like, you know, let me try this. And so I kid you, hey, right hand to the big man.
Man.
I walked from one lane all the way. I went from lane 12 to lane 3, and I didn't walk forward. I just walked sideways the whole time thinking I'm going straight. And I'm like, yeah, that's why I'm amazed by what you can do, you know? And so to go back to your question before, Dane, this is also why I stay motivated, because I see people that are blind. I see people that are either a single or double leg amputee. One arm, no arms. You know, I'm seeing this, and it's just like, yo, I am amazed at, you know, what you guys can do. And being that I am who I am, hey, thank you for that motivation, and thank you for pushing me, even though you didn't even know you did. You get what I'm saying? So I'm in a blessed and fortunate position because I get to see life in a different lens every day, and I'm choosing to do that. You know, we live in a world where we have choices. And that's another thing that I want people to understand is, you know, your life is your life because of the choices you made. You know, like good or bad, you made the choice. Like you can't blame anybody else. You made the choice. So whether you took advice from somebody else, you still decided to take their advice. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. And I think that's also how it keeps me to be optimistic every day. Like every day is a new day. So yesterday is gone. Today is today. So I'm optimistic of anything, you know. They say impossible that I'm possible. I am quite possible. Yeah. Can't nobody put no limitations on the goods.
That's funny. It's funny that you were talking about you saying, oh, you made it. I made a joke to Dane before you got connected. I was like, man, you know you made it because you got your own Wikipedia page. I was like, yeah. This dude got his own Wikipedia page. Been knowing this dude since like the third grade.
right.
Man.
And that's the exciting part about it too, bro. That's the exciting part is like, because people sent it to me. You know, like, I'm like, yo, what is this? And they, Wikipedia, you. I'm like, oh. I don't know, bro. That stuff is amazing. Like that people are invested in like who I am.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You get what I mean? Like they like right now, you guys like, hey, let's get him on the podcast.
Right. For sure.
You know, I don't know. Man, it's a blessing. That's all I'm gonna call it. It's a blessing. I'm thankful for it. Like truly. Yeah.
That's what's
truly.
Up,
it took some time to get here. It took some time, man. Deontay, you know, Dane, you know. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it, right? I don't know if you remember Dane, and for the listeners, I used to try to be a bully. And me and Dane, we played football at the park behind, like, in our neighborhood. Downtown Killeen 401, y'all know where we at? Yeah. But right by the ditch. And we was playing football, man. Mm-hmm. And I gave
right by the old Dairy Queen?
Down the street from there,
down the street.
That's what you're talking about.
I don't remember. I thought Dane was trying to be like, I thought he was trying to get like physical. Cause I think he like tried to like, I think we played two hand touch at this time. And I don't know if you did like two fisted me, but I'm like, hold on. This what we doing? Bingo. And I was like, let me check his chin real quick. But you know, boy squashed it clearly. Cause we on this podcast and it was love afterwards, but it was just like, you know, let me for anybody that is listening, bruh, I apologize. You know what I'm saying? Cause real life. Cause it's just like it's moments in my life, bro, where I was like, yo, why? Like, I really tried to be a bully because my athleticism, I became a cool kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was good and girls liked it. You know, no Frank, but the guys liked it. They was like, he's just cool. I get to high school, I'm automatically, bro, when I stepped foot inside of Killeen High and we had the news people with me, I go out for track practice and they like, you know you're on varsity, right? I'm like, okay. And I'm like, wait, y'all for real? Like, I am for real? They like, bro, you jumped 42 feet out of middle school and blah, blah, blah. His PR is 45 feet. Why do you think you're not on varsity? I'm like, you right. And ever since then, I'm like, okay, you know, I'm just cool. Even in middle school, playing football. Y'all remember? I don't know if y'all remember, but I think it was like the end of the year, and they gave out these superlatives. And I think I got like the most, I don't know if it was like most athletic or most likely to go to the NFL or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was like a picture of me running with the football and all this. But like stuff like that, it was like it was a booster, and at that time I didn't know how to handle it. That's what's important. So however you chop this up, let the kids know that's I didn't know how to handle it at that time. And so that's why I would, I guess, quote unquote, be a bully, because I'm like, oh, I'm on top of the world. I'm Omar Craddock. I'm the running back. I'm the triple jumper. I'm this, I'm that. You can't talk to me this way because I am the guy that you look up to anyway, you know? And I think that's why I would choose to treat people that way. And it wasn't until I looked at, like, you know, people would like call my brother a nerd because he wore glasses and he was into science and he was good at sports, but that wasn't his passion the way it was for me. And so, you know, people would try to, you know, verbally bully my guy. And I'm like, nah. It ain't going down like that. That's my brother. That's my big bro.
Right.
And at that point, that's when I was really like, all right, oh, you gotta chill. Like, you gotta practice what you preach. And so yeah, that's, I know I don't necessarily have to apologize, bro, but like as a man and as a growing person, man, like I guess this is more for the listeners. Like, hey, man, it's just not worth it. It's really not. It's really not. It ruins relationships, and it just, or it has the potential to ruin relationships, and it's just corny. Like, it's not, it ain't cool to be a bully. So if any cool kids listening, bro, it's not cool. Any cool girls listening, it's not cool to be a bully, because we all just different. It's some things about me that's lame, you know, but people are choosing to look at my coolness. So I don't know. I just had to get that out there, man.
It's all good.
It's a lot. Yeah.
Somebody may be listening to me to hear that.
straight up.
For sure. One more question I had is, so we kind of talked about your schedule. I know you had mentioned your schedule. You like on a certain schedule, preparing yourself for the trials or whatever. What's up next for you?
Well, obviously, yeah, like you said, I'm, you know, preparing for the trials, but, I actually, if y'all can make it, man, I'll be down in, at PV, for a competition March 20th through the 21st. That's where I open my outdoor season or my outdoor campaign. That's what I like to call it, towards this Olympics. So, that's what's next, phone. Really 100% there it is. So yeah, I'll be down there. That's the next event. I don't have any speaking engagements or anything lined up just yet, but right now, excuse me, I got the burps, but right now, you know, we're about to get into that season. So yeah, PV is up next. And then, you know, we keep it going. PV, Florida Relays. I think I go out to Utah at the end of April, and then May out to Japan for a couple meets. And then June, we out there in Eugene.
What's up. Hey, that's
gonna what's be up. Here before you know it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dane, you got any more questions, bro?
Nah, man. Cool. I mean, I guess my closing remarks are just be super, super, super appreciative of you coming out here and for sure. doing your thing and continuing to be the best version of you. So we always, you know, always going to be proud of you and just happy for the success that you've had,
man.
You know, not even just within the past few years, but just getting to be a part of your story and a sense of seeing it, seeing history unfold. So we appreciate you and all of that and nothing but love, man.
Nothing but love. We appreciate you, man. Proud of you as always. Love you. And we thank you for coming on. One thing we like to do at the end, at the end of our little episodes, we do our little social media plugs. So,
okay.
Tell the listeners where they can find you at on all the socials, bro.
Are y'all listening?
Look, I am everywhere. Mic check.
Yeah. I'm everywhere at Omar Goodness, and that's goodness with two D's. OmarGoodness. Omar Goodness on Twitter. Omar Goodness on Instagram. My Facebook is just, you know, first and last name, Omar Craddock. And I also, you know, I do have other passions. So I do photography as well. That's Good Eye is my photography page on Instagram.
I need to follow that.
Bingo. GOODDEYE. Good Eye. And also Room to Improve. I believe it's room2improve_ on Instagram as well. And that's where you kind of keep up with, you know, any merch updates and things like that. So I'm all over, man. But for sure, Omar Goodness is my most active. And that's where I'm at. Come follow your boy.
Hey, follow.
Already.
Yeah, good, man. But hey, like
man,
Oh, go ahead, Dane.
All right. No, you got me. Got the floor.
I was just gonna thank Omar again for coming on. Couldn't thank you enough, bro. Like I said, we love you, support you, all that good stuff, man.
I love y'all guys the same, man. Thank you, truly.
Yeah. Dang,
appreciate you again, bro. I'm gonna check out the merch again because it's been a minute since I got some. I had a tank like a few years ago, but man, if y'all ever put in like baby onesies up there, bro. Trust me, I'm going to go cop that.
I'm working on it, bro. I really wanted to drop some because obviously my nephew was born last year. He's one now. But yeah, I'm working on that. I'm glad you said that too, though, because it lets me know that people are actually looking for
it. It's a market. It's definitely a market out there. Sure. I have every single last one of my little relatives in a Room to Improve onesie with Craddock on the back.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Nah, truly, bro. I appreciate that. For real.
Hey. And tell Tim we said what's up. Give your mom and dad a love, that stuff, man. Please do.
Will do.
Tell them we think of my mom and dad ask about you all the time. But hey, Omar doing his thing out here, so they're gonna be real happy to hear you on this because they listen from time to time. So I'm gonna give them the heads up. But I'll give them your love for sure, man. But we appreciate you so much, man.
Please do.
Love
Uncle
you.
K and Aunt Pam.
Yeah.
Hey, what up, Bo? You know what I'm saying? Yes, sir.
Man.
And while we at it, though, truly, I appreciate that. I love y'all boys. Shout out to my mom, my pops, my brothers, my sisters, too, because they got to hear this and they got to love and enjoy this, too. So, I love y'all, man. And keep this going,
too,
fellas, for real. Like,
love you, too, man.
Hey, y'all are already putting, you know, scripture tell us that, you know, the waves, you know what I'm saying? These sound waves, we gotta take over. And so with y'all putting y'all voices out here for people to hear it, y'all putting y'all words out here for people to feel too. So I appreciate this, man. And it seems like this is where the world is going towards, podcasts and things like that. Yeah. People need some help and instruction on their life journeys. You feel me? So thank y'all for allowing me to utilize and be on y'all's platform and space. Yeah, thank you.
For sure, bro.
For real.
Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, man.
Man.
Appreciate you.